Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to be with you today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion as we talk about a very serious issue. Calling today's broadcast COVID Pass. That's COVID-19, of course. COVID Pass. Our papers, please. Identification to show that you have been vaccinated, that you are free of any potential pathogen called COVID-19. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there's a fast track taking place across the nation with the pharmaceutical houses to see who's going to be the first one out of the chute to have the vaccination for you and for others in America today. It's going to be an interesting conversation. I pray that you'll join us in this dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your dialogue, discussion, your questions in relationship to this very serious issue that we're going to be talking with you about today. Before we get into that, I'd like to take a personal moment to say to my bride, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. She has tolerated me for less than 100 years, and I'm thankful that we celebrate that time as today is anniversary day. And someone said on one occasion, if you have an anniversary, shouldn't you be off that day? Well, I have found that every day is work day, generally speaking, when it's in ministry, and I love every moment of it. But I'm thankful for my bride and for her love for me and for our boys and for the privilege that we have of serving the Lord together. So thank you so much for tolerating that personal moment for just 1 minute with me. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of denominational dogma or ideological bent or some philosophical thought or some political agenda. We base it on what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to COVID-19 and the COVID pass and the papers, please, it identifies what is found in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, in particular verses 11 through 18, where in the days of the Antichrist, that is after the rapture of the church, and by the way, that's the next thing on the calendar of God, the rapture of the church, sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the man of sin, the Antichrist, the one that is called the lawless one, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the beast, the old dragon, the old serpent. Literally, the Antichrist will step on the scene and he will rule with an iron fist, and he will cause everyone, both small and great, rich or poor, king or peasant, to receive the mark in the hand of the head, to be identified with his administration, if you will, show submission and identification, ownership and control, in order to be able to buy or sell, to get food, or to do anything in the society in that day. We're watching the foreshadowing of that. We're watching the dress rehearsal. We're watching the chessmen being put in place. We're watching the chessboard being set up. We're watching the players, the actors being put in place for the curtains to be opened and the Antichrist step on the scene. Now, let me just simply tell you, first and foremost, if you're saved, you won't be here. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be the one that is, quote, as the videos of the 80s and 90s, left behind. I'm going to be up and away. But there are mega millions on the face of the globe that will be here And so may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to face the issues based on the authority of Scripture, the truth book. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. And then John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus makes a very, very clear, bold statement when he says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you, don't be deceived by the Communist Network News. Don't be deceived by Nancy Pelosi and AOC and the squad and the those that are in the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party. Don't be deceived by their right arm, which is the media and society today. Just simply believe the truth. There are a lot of people today, and I'm finding more and more even that say they're saved, that's not interested in truth, not looking for truth, just simply glibly going through life as though there's no truth and no falsehood, and just believing whatever is being espoused by television and by those in some political party. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to question everything that's said today, filter it out, and determine what is truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist, a number of years ago, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what is happening in our world today. We need to go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That ought to be our mantra. That ought to be the challenge for every child of God today, is to seek the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, this sounds negative, but it's not meant to be. It's a fact. I believe that before the church is raptured out, I believe before we're taken out of this old world, that we will see the persecution and the prosecution of Christians just because we stand on the truth, speak the truth, and tell the truth. We need to be brave and bold. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen while there's yet opportunity for us to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power generation backup equipment, as well as landscape lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the home of the gigantic U.S. flag. Find that gigantic flagpole, 165 feet in the air, with Old Glory flowing 24/7. Based on that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, our telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. You might recall, ladies and gentlemen, just not long ago, President Trump announced, the Trump administration, that is, announced that America would have a COVID vaccination by the 1st of November. And after he made that statement, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the stock market jumped about 904 points that day, dropped back a little. I believe it closed at about 884 for the day. But as a result of his making that statement, the stock market skyrocketed. Why was that so? Because it was viewed as a positive statement in the dark, hysterical, fear days that we've gone through, the months and months and months now, of the hysteria and the fear-mongering as a result of COVID-19. And then Dr. Anthony Fauci wasn't satisfied with the stock market jumping because of the positiveness about the coming vaccination. Listen very carefully. Then Dr. Anthony Fauci came on, got on the television. Most of the commentators that are on the left and the social media strand picked all of that up. And Dr. Fauci said, no, no, no. The vaccine may not be ready to, available until January, February, March of early 2021, he said. The stock market then plummeted. Why is that so? Because the attitude that is taken today, right now, is it somehow, some way, there's going to be a magic bullet, i.e., silver bullet, as some would call it, that is some type cure, some type healing, some type vaccination that will allow us to come out of the woods and go back to, quote, normal. Well, Dr. Fauci has already said several times we'll never, ever go back to normal. He said we never should think that we're going to shake hands again. We never should think that somehow, some way, life is going to go back to normal after COVID-19, because Dr. Fauci, Dr. Tedros of World Health Organization, and Dr. Birx have all colluded together, in my most humble opinion, at the behest of Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they have determined that we need to tamp it down. We can't offer any hope for the citizens because, after all, we've not gotten the vaccine yet. Once the vaccine comes out, Dr. Fauci has already said that will not be an end-all cure-all, because we're going to be facing waves and waves and waves of the maturation of COVID-19 and the mutation of COVID-19 and the continual having to fight it. So therefore, we'll never get back to normal. Ladies and gentlemen, COVID-19, let me just tuck this in right here. COVID-19, that pathogen, is a deadly pathogen. Multitudes across the nation and around the world have died as a result of it. But it's been weaponized by the left in order to tear down and destroy the hopes and the dreams and the possibilities of President Donald J. Trump's reelection. It has been weaponized. And the same left that's weaponized COVID-19 is also utilizing the Black Lives Matter Socialist Marxist Communist Party in order to infiltrate and to destroy city after city after city, to keep the hysteria and the fright and the fear among our people, so that there'll be a lack of focus. Hear me, a lack, L-A-C-K, a lack of focus on registering to vote, getting ready to vote, and voting to put Donald J. Trump back in office. This is the reason Nancy Pelosi and her left-wing ideological bent been trying to push the idea that we need to stay in because COVID-19 is so dangerous that we need to stay in and not go out to vote. That's the reason they've been pushing the vote by mail on a universal basis in the hopes of stealing the election, destroying the election. We've talked about that on several broadcasts. Just wanted to touch on that. That's one of the things that's interlocked with and carried out also along with the weaponization of COVID-19 to try to destroy the election on November the 3rd. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump's developed what he's calling warp speed. Warp speed. That's an endeavor to develop and to distribute COVID-19 vaccination for every American, resulting in what I call is the purposeful deception by who? The World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, and Dr. Fauci, and Dr. Birx, that has convinced the president. Listen, going back to January and February of this year, those in the white jackets convinced President Trump that unless he acted quickly, acted severely, and acted directly and poignantly and pointedly in the closing down of America, that 2.2 million people would die. Keep in mind, that's the predicate that started all that we're faced with today, with the hysteria and the fear and the shutting down of America and the destruction of business, destruction of commerce, and the destruction of churches by the thousands across America. That's the cause. That's the factor. As head of DOJ, William Barr, the United States Attorney General, made the statement that in looking for what has taken place with the Mueller investigation, et cetera, he said he wanted to know the predicate. That is the starting point, the rationale, the reason behind it. And the predicate, the rationale, the reason behind what President Donald J. Trump has done thus far, and he's done so with lightning speed in relationship to trying to protect the United States of America. And the rationale behind that was that he had been lied to by being told that 2.2 million people in America would die lest he instigated lockdown procedures, quarantine procedures for the United States of America's commerce, including, ladies and gentlemen, all of our churches. In fact, today there are still thousands of churches across America that have not yet opened. Some saying they're going to open in January. Some saying it'd be later. Some may never open. In fact, according to the research and the study that's been done by the Barna Report and the Barna Research. He says about one out of four or two out of five, different numbers, but both of them are pretty heavily weighted based on their research, their survey. Those churches may never reopen, especially in the mid to smaller range churches, those that were underfunded to begin with. And the overwhelming majority of our smaller churches across America are underfunded, operating on a shoestring, but by faith, trusting the Lord to provide each day. Multitudes of those, thousands of those, will never reopen as a result of the draconian method that was taken by our government to shut everything down. But ladies and gentlemen, it is on warp speed, as President Trump calls it. It is on the fast track to develop that vaccine so that every American can be injected with the vaccine that supposedly is going to protect us from COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at the possibility that we're coming to the point where there's going to be a forced procedure, a requirement for every citizen, every person in America, to receive an injection, a vaccine. I believe that Americans recognize that something is wrong, horribly wrong. I believe that most citizens today realize there's something up. There's something that's not right. There's something that's awry. There's a problem somewhere in relationship to what we see taking place. With businesses still closed, with hundreds of thousands of businesses filing bankruptcy, and Comrade de Blasio in New York City saying that he has nothing on the track for opening restaurants in New York City. I've forgotten the number, 22,000 or 28,000 or some astronomical number of restaurants just in New York City. And the few that still that are open, still having to have people eat on the sidewalk under little tents. Then you have Cuomo, the governor of New York, saying that he is not ready to talk about opening gyms or hair salons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yet in California, Nancy Pelosi can have her hair done and get her hair blown, get a hair blow, I believe is what they called it. And yet others, the common citizens, we the people, can't do what our elected officials can do. We've got two sets of governance, two sets of standards, two sets of laws in America, it seems today. But ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about is we recognize there's something wrong. There's something flawed. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, mega millions today are desperately trying to hang on financially, emotionally, spiritually, while the hoax continues to cause pain and fear and hysteria in the American people. Multitudes of Americans are simply sheeple today, not people, sheeple, falling blindly what they're being told. If you don't believe that, just go into the grocery store and see how many people have a mask on. Go into any place of business and watch the masketeering taking place. I am adamantly opposed to it, ladies and gentlemen. The mask wearer, if I can touch on this, as we get into the very focus today of the COVID-19 vaccination and the COVID pass, is where we're headed in this broadcast today. But I need to set the stage, the predicate of where we're going, if you will. Sheeple rather than people. Where you have the fiat orders by mayors and governors saying wear a mask. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis has never given a mandate to wear a mask. You have these little mayors that want to be dictators that have made the decision to do so. But those mask wearers, listen carefully, you're reducing the oxygen level for your intake by as much as 40%. The benefit of that mask for keeping the pathogen out is nil. Almost vacuous and void. According to the OSHA website, the pathogen is 1/10 of a micron. The smallest opening in the cloth, the fabric that you wear as a mask is 3 microns. So the question is, can a pathogen that's 1/10 of a micron crawl between 3 micron opening? Yes. OSHA website says it's like putting a chain link fence on your face to keep a gnat out. And yet we have those by the millions, and it's necessary for us to see this, ladies and gentlemen. We have those by the millions that are wearing masks going into the stores, and I've watched them on the parking lot get out, reach in their dirty pockets and pull out a filthy mask, reach in the glove box and pull out a mask they've worn 14, 15, 20, 30 times with their handprints and the fingerprints and the germs and the debris, the bacteria on both sides of it, stuff it on their face to go in to meet the requirements so they look all right. No one wants to think or to be seen as going against what is the norm to protect oneself, but it's destroying the health of the one that's wearing that mask, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, God forbid if Biden were to be elected president, Biden has already said that he wanted a national mandate. Here's the article. Biden calls for a mandate requiring all Americans by the force of law to wear a mask. Presumptive Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and running mate Kamala Harris call for a nationwide mask mandate after coronavirus briefing. All Americans should be wearing a mask, he says, whether they're outside or inside. He goes on to state that we need to be forced to wear a mask. He said, let's institute a mask mandate nationwide starting immediately. He said, I believe it'll save lives. It won't save lives. Ladies and gentlemen, it's already been proven. And finally, the Centers for Disease and Control, CDC, just indicated, I believe it was 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago now, that some 94% of those that have tested positive are not transmitters of the coronavirus. They're not contagious. And yet all we hear is 14 more cases today, 592 cases yesterday, another 600 cases. What are they talking about cases? My question when the television says that, are they in the hospital? Are they on medication? Are they on a respirator? Are they under a doctor's care? No. They've just tested positive, been told self-quarantine for 14 days, and everything will be all right. So do you find that to be something that should cause America to be shut down on a continual basis? Is that something that caused churches to continue to be under the thumb of Caesar and for the government to demand the church as to whether the church can open or close? Absolutely not. I think it's antithetical. It's called anything that would talk about America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. The Utah governor says students who don't wear a mask should be charged with a crime and fined $1,000 or even put in jail for up to 6 months. For students, kindergarten through the 12th grade in Utah, that's the mindset of the governor. It's enforced on a district-by-district basis, he said. But we're not kidding. Let's slap a bunch of kids with misdemeanors, the governor says. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Yet at the same time, we're opening prisons and opening jails and letting hundreds of thousands of felons and sex offenders, et cetera, out on the streets. And yet you want to put a child in jail to fine the child $1,000 for not wearing a mask to school. The point I'm making, ladies and gentlemen, is the very fact that we're talking about setting the stage, getting the populace ready. If we're going to be forced to wear a mask, if we're going to be shamed and not wearing a mask, if it's going to be the patriotic thing to wear a mask, then think about when the mandate comes out that you've got to take the vaccination. What are we going to do? How should we then live, as Francis Schaeffer used that term that I have enjoyed for so many years now? Americans ought to recognize, yes, there's something wrong. Yes, we're being groomed. Yes, we're being set up and prepared for the future of the vaccine that shall come. In fact, we're told that millions of doses of the vaccine is already being made ready. And that every American needs to take the vaccination. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, in this administration, because Trump has been deceived by the lie to begin with, and he cannot come across as being less than conservatively trying to protect Americans. Getting the military ready with thousands of troops that are already on notice that they will be used to help in the warp speed delivery of the vaccines to the American citizens. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but that's scary to me to think that you're going to turn over to the military the responsibility of making sure that everybody gets vaccinated. What are they going to do, come door to door in their camouflage uniforms with the hypodermic in their hands and the weapon on their belt saying, I'm here to vaccinate you? That's a horrible thought, but the high potentiality is for that to take place in the United States of America. So will the people, free citizens, listen, here's my question. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, COVID pass. Papers, please. Do you have your COVID pass that you can buy, sell, or trade? What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you intend on when the vaccination should come out? Will you take one? If not, why not? Tell us why not. If not, why not? Do you feel that it's to your benefit to take a COVID-19 vaccination? I want to hear from you. It's a very, very important subject. It's a timely subject. It's something that is urgently important that we make a decision on where we're going to stand. What are we going to do? Are you going to tell on your neighbor if he's not been vaccinated? Are you going to be the snitch that has been in place now for some of those that have not self-quarantined or not stayed in as they were told to by the mayors and the governors? Ladies and gentlemen, our free citizens, America, free citizens, are we going to obediently line up and receive the vaccination? Yes, may I simply say yes, yes, yes. That is what is on the horizon today. The vast majority of people are waiting with bated breath for the so-called cure of COVID-19. Folks are saying, well, you know, when the vaccine comes, we can be free. When the vaccine comes, we can go out. When the vaccine comes, we can take the mask off. When the vaccine comes, we don't have to say, may I or can I enter into your store? May I or can I get on an airplane? May I or can I send my child to school? There are a lot of folks that are thinking that is the answer, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says the WHO chief, that's Dr. Tedros, says we can't return to normal after COVID due to one reason. And he goes on to talk about that one reason is that we've got to settle the climate control problem. But he is extending the problem now beyond just the COVID pathogen and the COVID vaccination that is to be carried out. He says that it's a long-term disease, and that is climate change, global warming. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter if you take the vaccination. Even with the vaccination, there's another problem, there's another problem, there's another problem that the globalists want to institute and to inculcate to force us to follow that until we simply become docile to any mandate by the governance over us and we simply bow and bend and say yes to it. The vast majority, ladies and gentlemen, are waiting for that COVID vaccination, and they are waiting to say, I am COVID free. I am simply free to do as I please. Ladies and gentlemen, that will not happen in America, not after at this point and not beyond, because there's always going to be something that we're told we've got to do next in order to really be a free people. But multitudes are waiting with bated breath to do so. Some legal experts, as they are called, tell us that the government has full authority to force you to take a vaccination. So how will they carry this out? What will they do to force us to have the vaccination? And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Pope Francis sides with the Bill Gates and says COVID vaccination must be universal and for all people, despite being made from aborted baby parts, this article says. And it goes on to talk about Pope Francis has backed global elitists such as Bill Gates when it comes to corona vaccination, saying that it should be universal and for everyone. The Pope is joining with Bill Gates to hold Gates' hands up to say that we all need to receive the vaccination, ladies and gentlemen, and all should be forced to. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. COVID vaccination should be mandated, should be mandatory, this article says. In fact, let me just share a little brief article before we take our news break. This article says, Alan Dershowitz is wrong. Government can't compel you to take a COVID-19 vaccination. And this writer goes into great detail. He's a Harvard Law professor. Alan Dershowitz has made quite a stir on the air when he says that every person can be forced to have the needle, as he put it, stabbed into the arm. And this is what Dershowitz said. This was about 8 weeks ago. Let me put it very clearly. You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread the disease, even if you disagree. You have no right not to be vaccinated. If you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to the doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm. Now, ladies and gentlemen, is that right or is that wrong? Is that constitutional or is it unconstitutional? We're going to look at this Harvard Law professor's statement, then we're going to look at the analysis of that. And he was basing it on a 1905 United States Supreme Court decision that is antithetical to what we're faced with today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break of about 1 minute for the news. After the news, we'll be right back. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial as we continue to Let's Face the Issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.